How many of you remember that one?
A few.
Dean, you never knew that? Really? Wow. Dean knows all the old ones. I'm surprised. I thought you would know that. That's an oldie. Based, of course, on the Passover story. What's that? You're not that old yet. Okay. So, Barb, you're the only one that knew that? Nobody else knew that? Okay, wow. Dad, did you know it? You didn't know it either. Wow. Doris, you knew it. Doris knew it. Yeah, I remember singing that growing up. But Thelma knew it. So it was based on that verse in Exodus chapter 12, which is part of our scripture this morning. So as we prepare for the message, our scripture is going to be brought to us by Harold Horst.
Good morning. From the NIV, this is Hebrews 11, verses 27 to 29. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land, but when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned.
Thank you, Harold. We know that the Lord always adds his blessing to both the reading and the hearing of his word. Let's pray together. Fathers, we've come before you this morning. We ask that you'd open our hearts to hear from you today. That you'd give us a glimpse of you and your word and your presence with us this morning. And Lord, we know that you are with us. And Lord, as we come before you this morning, we all come with different concerns on our hearts. And we pray that in your presence today, we would find that deliverance that only you can bring. As you set us free from the concerns that we have and the burdens that we carry, and most importantly, from the burden of our sin, we thank you that we leave restored, we leave with hope, and we can rejoice and dance before you because those burdens are taken away. Our heart has been set free, and we can rejoice in you. So we ask your blessing on your word through Christ in whom we pray. Amen. Last week, as we were continuing through our chapter of Hebrews 11, we learned about choices that faith brings us. That faith brings us to the important of two important choices as we looked into the life of Moses and his parents. And we discovered that faith first gives us that choice, chooses obedience to God over fear of man. And that because of fear in our life, fear can move us to inaction. Fear can cause us to not move forward and to stand up. And we learned that faith moves us to obey God, not man. And we also discovered that faith chooses the blessings of God over the pleasures of Egypt and pleasures of the world. And as we met and ended last week and met Moses, we saw that he had an important choice to make. That as he grew up, raised as a prince of Egypt, and he had to make a choice of whether to continue that way or he turned his back on all that and became a slave and was identified with his people. And he gave up all the treasures of Egypt and became a slave and servant of God because he knew that the blessings of God were of greater value. Today, as we continue through this chapter, we continue to look at the life of Moses and a couple significant other events within his life. Moses is so great that the author of Hebrews devotes a little bit more time to him. And as we discover several more things today, because today we're going to learn about faith delivers us. And we're going to discover the deliverance that we have through faith and several ways it sets us free. And faith delivers us in three ways. First, one discovers that faith brings deliverance from fear and doubt. Now, last week, we saw that fear can be move us to an action. But Moses' parents, even though the king had issued that edict that all baby boys had to be thrown into the river, they defied. It said they were not afraid of the king's edict, and they took their stand, and they obeyed God over man. And even though it might have been fearful for them, that fear was displayed by their faith. But look at verse 27. It says, by faith he left Egypt, talking about Moses, not fearing the king's anger. So we see that faith delivers us from fear and from doubt. Now, if we were to read this study life of Moses, we would see that he had left Egypt two times. And you may remember that. He had fled Egypt two times. And the first time, though, that he had fled, he left in fear. You remember why he left the first time? He left because he had killed an Egyptian man. Remember that part of the story. In his anger, he had killed an Egyptian. And when people found out, he fled Egypt in fear. So this couldn't be referring about that, because it says by faith here, he left not fearful, not afraid when he left Egypt. The second time he left Egypt, he left in victory. He left in boldness. He left in assurance. He left in confidence when he led the nation out of slavery to freedom. And that was what it's referring to here. And what made the difference? Why this time when he left Egypt did he leave with confidence and he was not afraid and he was able to bring the deliverance, and the deliverance was brought and he was set free from his fear? What made the difference? The difference was that in between that time and the other time, the first time and the second time, Moses had a personal encounter with God. And he met the Lord, and when he did, his life was changed and that fear was turned to victory, and he was set free and delivered from fear. Now, you and I are called, as we learned last week, to be bold in our faith, to be strong, to stand up. And this week, it's amazing, God has been speaking to me through a lot of different sources that has been bringing that same message across about the importance of us being strong in our faith and being urgent, because we don't know how much time we have. And to be bold in our faith and to stand strong and not to be afraid to be a witness. And we learned that last week. But you know, if we confess, how many of us, we still struggle with that fear, don't we? We're still afraid to speak up. We're still afraid to let people know. And it's still easy for us to be silent. If we're honest, we still struggle with that fear. But the Lord is here this morning to deliver us from that fear and the other fears and doubts that we have in our life, whatever they may be. And it happens when we have a personal account with the Lord. Let's go to Exodus chapter 3, because we're going to see where Moses' life was changed. He had a personal encounter with the Lord on the holy mountain, Mount Sinai. And there God met him, as you know the story, in a bush that looked like it was burning, but it was not. And he was delivered from his fear through the reality of his presence. Because he saw the Lord appeared to him. And it says back in Hebrews 27, he saw the one who was invisible. And that's why he was not afraid of the king's edict. He saw the Lord. The Lord appeared to him and revealed himself. And in his presence, his fear dissipated. And when we get a realization that you and I are with the Lord is with us. We're not alone. It gives us the strength to stand. Elijah had that same fear when he was afraid for his life, and he was afraid too. And he said, I'm the only one left. And the Lord said, there's others, and I'm with you. Fear not. How many times in Scripture the Lord had to say to us, fear not, I am with you. He had to keep reminding us of that, doesn't he? Because we're in his presence, is with us. We're not alone. And Exodus chapter 3, the Lord appears to him, and he says, I am the one, I am who I am, I'm with you. And chapter 3, gives that whole story of how God appeared to him. And in the reality of his presence, we see that when we meet the Lord and we realize that God is with us, and today he's with you. He's with you in the darkest hours of your life. He's with you when you're alone by yourself and you think nobody else is there. God's presence is surrounding you. And when we get that awareness of the reality of his presence and a personal encounter with the Lord as Moses had, we realize several things that our needs are addressed. Look with me particularly in verse 8. As the Lord appeared to him, and he said, verse 7, I have seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of the slave drivers. I am concerned about their sufferings, and I have come down to rescue them. When I was studying this week, I circled every one of those words as the Lord spoke to Moses, because he's saying the same thing to us. Realize that in his presence, whatever need and concern you have, whatever burden, and you may not have publicly shared that this morning, and that's fine, but the Lord knows it. And he knows the burdens that you carry. He knows the fears in your heart. He knows the doubts that you have. He knows the anxieties that we all have. And if we're honest, we all have anxieties about things and cares of life, don't we? And he knows what they are. And in his presence, those needs are addressed through the great I Am. Because look at that verse again. He says, I have seen the misery of my people. As they cried out in slavery for those 400 years, they may have thought God had forsaken them. They may have thought God hadn't cared, that God had turned his back away. And when we're in those times when we feel the darkness is around us, we may feel, where is God in the midst of it? He doesn't see what I'm going through. He doesn't know. He doesn't care. I'm dealing with this by myself. Do you ever feel that way sometimes? But the Lord's reminding Moses. He's telling them, I have indeed seen the misery. You can take comfort that the reality of God's presence, that your need is addressed because he does see you. And it's just to think, in the midst of all the world and all the universe, and God is sovereign over all of it, in the midst of all the people that ever lived throughout all time, he sees and knows you personally. His eye is on you. Isn't that amazing? He's seen. He knows the misery. He knows the concern. He knows the burdens. I have seen, he says, but he says also, I have heard them, he said, crying out to me because of their slave drivers. He not only sees you, but he hears you. He hears the burdens of your heart that you can't express, the concerns that you carry. He says, I am concerned. He said, I am concerned about their suffering. He's concerned about you. He sees you, he hears you, he's concerned. And he's there. And then he says, I have come down to rescue you. And because he knows you, because he sees you and loves you so much, he left heaven and he came down to you through Jesus. Emmanuel means God with us. That he is with you and came to you personally. That's how much he cares. And then I Am, the great I Am, is with you. So have the assurance, the reality of his presence, that your needs are addressed by the great I Am. They don't pass his attention. They don't escape him. That's one reason we can know that we can be delivered from fear. We can be delivered from doubt through the reality of his presence. His eyes are firmly set on you. His ear is tuned to you. Isn't that a comfort? That helps the fear to begin to be dismayed. That's why he said through Isaiah, be not dismayed, fear not, for I am with you. But in his presence, our needs are addressed, but also our excuses are confronted. Notice in verses 4 through 13, the Lord then, Moses then gives all these excuses. The Lord said, I am sending you. I've seen the misery of my people, and I'm bringing deliverance. I'm going to deliver them. And God said, I've chosen you. I'm going to send you to bring deliverance. And Moses says, oh yeah? Not me. He said, I can't go. He said, what if they don't listen to me? Verse 4, 1 of Verse 4 says, what if they don't listen to me or believe me? And so the Lord said, well, throw down your staff. And when he did, it turned into a snake. Then he said, put your hand inside your chest. And when he did, he pulled it out. It was leprous. He said, I will work through you so that they'll believe. Then he says, God confirmed himself there. And so he said, okay, well, I can't talk very well. I'm not very good at speaking. You got the wrong person, God. You need to pick somebody who can talk. I can't. I stutter. I'm not very good. You got the wrong man, God. Don't look at me. And he gave him excuses. And so many times do we try to give our excuses as well as to why we shouldn't maybe do what God's calling us to do. And every single time he gave an excuse, the Lord confronted it. And when verse 10, when he says, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past or in the future. I can't speak well. Verse 11, what did the Lord say to him? Who made your mouth, Moses? Who made you the way you are? I gave you the ability you have. So again, he took the excuses away. We can come up with a lot of excuses in our life, can't we? And when we realize the reality of God's presence, those excuses dissipate. Because he confronts us with who we are when he calls us to have obedience to him over fear, as we've seen last week. And we can give all the excuses we want, but the Lord here confronts us and says, the excuses, they're just simply that. But I have a greater way. And he goes on to tell him the same. Also, that our doubt is erased. When we have the reality of his presence, our doubt is erased, because Moses doubted himself and he doubted his ability. And he said, send somebody else to do it, Lord. I can't speak very well, and so send somebody else. But the Lord said, I made you, I will be with you, and gave him the strength. When the Lord met Moses here, it gave him the promise to realize that God was with him, and he could go back and he could address the king. Even though he didn't think he was eloquent in his speech, he was able to go back to the king with that message and stand before him and say, God says, let my people go. And it was the boldness of being in the presence of the Lord that took that fear away. We have a lot of doubts. We doubt ourselves sometimes. We doubt our ability. We have doubt what we can do through the Lord. And the Lord, when we realize his presence is with us, he removes that self-doubt and gives us the boldness that we need in him. And when we are in his presence, our will is aligned. Because chapter 4, verse 13 through 14, he says, I don't want to go. And the Lord says, you go. He says, your brother's already on the way to meet you. And when he says, send someone else to do it, he says, no. He said, you go. And as it went on, and the chapter continued, he says, I have faltering lips. I can't go. And he says, I will tell you what to say. Now go and do it. And at the end of this encounter with the Lord, Moses brought him to that point of aligning his will with God's. Even though he didn't want to go, he gave all the excuses. He brought himself into the alignment with the Lord's will because he had seen God face to face. That's what happens when you and I have an encounter with God. And we realize the reality of his presence, his will, and ours become the same. And where we see where our excuses, our self-doubt, our fear, our will is brought into alignment with his. We say, okay, Lord, I'll do what you want. I'll go. I'll obey you, even over my fear. We are delivered from fear when we realize the reality of his presence, but also through the assurance of his word. Chapter 4, verses 21 through 23. The Lord promised Moses, and the Lord said to him in this encounter, he says, when you return to Egypt, see, you will perform before Pharaoh all the wonders I have given you the power to do. But I will harden his heart so that he will not let the people go. Then say to Pharaoh, this is what the Lord says, Israel, my firstborn son, I told you, let my son go that he may worship me. But you refused to let him go, so I will kill your firstborn son. God had told Moses his word. And he said, this is what to say to the king. And so he didn't have fear when he went before the Lord, Pharaoh, because he had the assurance of God's word. And God's word spoken to us gives us assurance that we need to take those fears and doubts away. Not only the reality of his presence, but his word spoken to us. God told Moses, I'm going to send you to the king. This is what you say. He's not going to listen to you. And I'm going to send judgment on him. And so Moses already knew, and he had the boldness because he had the surety of God's word. God had already spoken it to him, and it gave him the confidence. And when you and I have the confidence of knowing that God's word is spoken to you and I, and we can rest on that, we can rely on it and know that those fears can go because his word is true. Heaven and earth may pass away, but his word is eternal, isn't it? And his word is reliable. Also, through the fulfillment of his promise, we find that fear is our deliverance from fear when he fulfills his word to us. We go to chapter 6, verses 1 through 5, as the Lord continued to speak to him. The Lord said to Moses, now see that you do all that I tell you to do to Pharaoh, because my mighty hand, he will not let them go. But then the Lord said to Moses, I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty. But by my name, the Lord, I did not make myself known to them. I established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan where they lived as aliens. And moreover, I have heard the groaning of the Israelites and the Egyptians are enslaving, and I have remembered my covenant. Moses had assurance when he went before Pharaoh as well, because he knew that God would fulfill his promise. God, the promise that was made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that we had already looked at, that someday the land of Canaan that they were living in as aliens would someday be their own possession. And we looked at that. And all those years had passed by and the promise didn't come. And God said to Moses, now is the time. Now is the time I'm going to fulfill the promise that I had given to them, that I am going to take him from Egypt and give you the land that I had promised to your forefathers. And when Moses knew that God was going to fulfill his promises made, it gave him boldness and assurance to know that fear can go when he stood before the king. And you and I have that same assurance that God will and does keep his promises to us. Knowing that God keeps his word, we have the assurance of his word, but we also have the promise that he will keep it and fulfill what he said. That as well helps those doubts and fears to be eliminated from our life, doesn't it? Because we have that assurance and confidence. He will do it. He will fulfill his promise. It may be a while. It may come years from now. But he will keep his word. And he will keep his promises to us. He is faithful in it. And we are delivered from fear through the enablement of his spirit. As Moses said and made all his excuses of why he couldn't do it and why he couldn't speak. And he said, am I faltering lips? I can't talk very well. I'm not very eloquent. The Lord met him and said, I will give you the words to say. He said, I will speak to you. You speak to Aaron, and I will enable both you and Aaron to speak my word. You're not going in your strength. Then the Lord gave him the power and said, through my power, you can display my glory. And the Lord gives us the power and the ability that we need that we don't have on ourselves to speak for him. Last week, we learned about the importance of speaking up. And it is hard. But it is his spirit that gives us the boldness to say and to speak up for Jesus when we know we need to. To do it not in a confrontive way, but in love, because we care. And it's His Spirit that gives us the words and ability to do that when we want to stay quiet. It is the ability of His Spirit that gives us the wisdom to know when to speak and how. And it is His Spirit that gives us the words, because we don't speak on our own. The Scripture says in Acts 1:8 that we will be witnesses when the Holy Spirit comes on us, giving us the power that we need. We'll receive power from Him. So God wants to set us free from our fear this morning through His presence with you, His assurance of His word, the power of His Spirit, and His promises that He will fulfill. But not only does He bring deliverance from fear, the Lord has promised this morning to bring deliverance from sin and death. As we go to verse 28, we see that the second form of deliverance that comes through faith is the deliverance of sin and death that is taken from us, so we don't have to fear that anymore. It says, by faith, He, or the people, kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. And then because Pharaoh continued to harden his heart, and the Lord went, and Moses went to him with the message, set my people free, and he refused. God sent him plague after plague on Egypt, each one aimed at a different one of the deities of the gods that Egypt worshipped, showing that the Lord indeed was God over all, because Pharaoh believed that he was God. And so God sent plague after plague to show that he alone was the Lord. And the final one was the plague of death of the firstborn, known as the Passover. And God said to Moses, he said, take the blood of the lamb and slay it. And it had to be a perfect lamb, and slay it, and put the blood on the sides of the door and the top. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you and save you from the death and the destruction that is going to come through Egypt. And they did. And you know the story. When they put the blood on the door, God came through that night. The death angel came, and the firstborn of Egypt died. And those who were not covered by the blood were lost. Those who were covered by the blood were saved and delivered from sin and death. Because when the blood is applied, our sin is erased. And that's where the deliverance comes in, and that's the good news. That Jesus died on the cross to pay the price of all of our sin, the sins of all the entire world. Through that one act on the cross, He died for the sins of all mankind that ever lived. But it's only when that blood is applied by faith, friends, that your sin and mine is erased. But we can be thankful that it is. And He passes over us and spares us from His judgment and gives us life. Instead of death, we have been delivered and given life. Isn't that something to rejoice in? But it has to be applied by faith. Israel that night, in order to the night of the Passover, they had to not only believe that what Moses said was from the word of the Lord, but they had to slay the lamb and they had to personally apply the blood on their door. If they wouldn't have, they wouldn't have been saved. It's not enough for us to know that Jesus died on the cross for us. We have to personally accept and apply that to our heart by faith, right? And that's how salvation comes. And when we do, our sin is erased for all time. And He no longer remembers it or brings it against you anymore. Isn't that something to rejoice in? Buried in the depths of the deepest sea and paid for all eternity. Scripture says in Exodus chapter 12, verse 13, the blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. I will deliver you from death. I would deliver you from sin. The blood on the side of the door and the top was a foreshadow of the cross. Jesus Himself, the perfect Passover lamb, the Lamb of God who took away all the sin of the world, who paid that price. And when it's applied there, we are set free. Set free from sin. Set free from death. And when the blood is applied, our guilt is eliminated. And we can stand before God knowing that we have been forgiven and we are cleansed. He accepts us and He receives us, no longer with a death sentence over our head. But we stand forgiven and our guilt is gone. That's the power of the blood. And that's what Jesus has done. That's the deliverance he brings. This morning, have you experienced that deliverance? To know that your sins have been taken away, your guilt is eliminated, your guilt is gone, and you can stand before God forgiven through the power of his blood. You have that assurance. That's the deliverance he's come to bring. He's come to deliver you from your fear, but he's also come to deliver you from your sin and from the death sentence that was on us. But the story doesn't end there. He also brings a third type of deliverance he comes to bring us, we see through faith. This faith also delivers us from obstacles and adversity. We all face obstacles and adversities in our life. We all have this, not only do we all have fear and doubt, we all have obstacles and adversity, hardship. When we come to faith in Christ, we're not guaranteed that we're not promised that we're not ever going to have hardship and adversity again. In fact, many times that's when it starts, right? Because that's when the Satan fights at us all the more. Verse 28 says that by faith, the people crossed over the Red Sea and crossed through it by faith. It was faith again that they passed through the Red Sea, verse 29, while the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned because they did not have the faith in the Lord. Faith enables us to see, and this is a classic scene from the movie Ten Commandments, but faith enables us to see that obstacles come in our life as a means of God's leading. Because when God set Israel free, and he delivered them in the day of Exodus came in deliverance, to take them to the promised land that he had promised to give them to Moses and to their descendants, he could have easily led them along the Mediterranean Sea, and he could have easily led them along the main road that went from Egypt up into Canaan. There was a main road that went all the way through land. He easily could have went that way. But look with me into the scripture of Exodus chapter 13 and notice what it says. Exodus chapter 13, verse 17. And following, when Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through Philistine territory, which was right along the road into the country. Though that way was shorter, that way would have been easier, that way would have been a lot simpler. But God said, no, if they face war, they may change their minds. So God led them around by the desert road towards the Red Sea. God intentionally did that. Go to verse chapter 14, verse 1. Then the Lord said to Moses, tell the Israelites to turn back and encamp near Pihahiroth between Migdol and the sea, and they are in camp by the sea directly opposite Beelzebub. And Pharaoh will think the Israelites are wandering about in the land in confusion, hemmed in by the desert. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will pursue them, but I will gain glory for myself through Pharaoh and his army and the Egyptians, and they will know that I am the Lord. God intentionally led Israel to the banks of the Red Sea and hemmed them in with the Pharaoh army coming behind them and put them in a position where they would have the armies of Pharaoh attacking them from behind and the sea in the front. You say, wait a minute, God, why did you bring us this way? Sometimes God puts us in the place of obstacles and hardship and adversity for the purpose of growing our faith, because they were going to learn a great lesson of faith that day. You know the story. You know what God did. But put yourself in your position before that. If you would have been living then, if you would have been in the group that came out, the Israelites that came out, and you saw the army coming behind you and the sea in the front, how would you have responded? Put yourself there. Would you have cried out in fear? Would you have said with Moses, Lord, Moses, what are you doing? You brought us out here to die. What's God doing? Why did he bring us this way? And when we're in the midst of those obstacles, sometimes we say that to God in our anger. We say, God, why'd you bring this? Why are you allowing me to go through this? Why'd you put this in front of my path? God easily could have led them the other way, but he intentionally put that in front of their path. We say, God, why did you put this here? You ever felt that way? And sometimes it is because he was going to help them to see their faith grow in a greater way. Sometimes he puts those obstacles there as an opportunity to grow our faith. And faith enables us to see that God leads through it. and God leads through all things. We may not understand it, but it's part of God's leading. God had a purpose unbeknownst to the Israelites at that time that only he knew what he was going to do. He said, I will gain glory to myself in this. And they didn't see it at the time, but God knew. And God does that work in us. Faith enables us to see even hardship and adversity as part of the leading of God in our life. And to trust him. And to see it in his faith, in his way. Faith also enables us to overcome obstacles through the use of God's power. As we continue on in chapter 14, as we look at the story, verse 13 and 14 says that Moses answered the people as they cried out, it would have been better for us to die in Egypt than to come out here. The Lord's Moses said to them, don't be afraid, but stand firm, and you will see the deliverance that the Lord will bring you today. For the Lord will fight for you. You only need to be still. That sometimes God will put obstacles on our path to deepen our faith. He may not remove them because he may want them there for us to grow. But then sometimes the Lord does enable us with his power to overcome these obstacles through his power at work within us. And what obstacles are standing in your way of your growth with Christ? Maybe it's sins in our life that we can't overcome. Maybe it's fears that we have. Maybe it's doubts. Maybe it's anxieties. Maybe it's doubts about ourselves. Or addictions, things we hold on to that no one else knows. And we seem like, I just can't get victory over this. I just can't get through this thing or around it. It's so great, I can't get through it. But the Lord can enable us to overcome those obstacles with the use of his powers. We simply be still and trust in him. As we simply rely on him and let him do the work in us. For the victory is the Lord's and not our own. There is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain that binds you. Whatever it is binding you and you need to be set free from this morning. You believe that there is power in Jesus to break that. Let his power be at work through you. Stand still, rely on him, and let him part the sea. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. It didn't seem to be that there was a way for Israel. They had the sea on one side, the army behind them, and it seemed that there was no way of escape, and God intentionally put them there so that their faith would grow. But he, through his power, parted the sea, as you know the story, and he made a way when it seemed like there wasn't one. And sometimes he wants us to get to that place where we're backed up against the wall, and there's nowhere else to turn than we have to rely on the Lord. After we've tried everything else in our own strength. And so many times we do that, don't we? We try everything else in our own strength first, and it doesn't work. Israel knew that they couldn't get through this without God's help. And they were backed against the wall, and that's when he stepped in. And relying on him, and the wall and the obstacle was cleared. And faith also enables us to endure obstacles as a revelation of God's glory. Israel was able to endure this and to go through the sea because God was going to be glorified through it. He said again in verse 4 of chapter 14, he says, I will harden Pharaoh's heart and he will pursue them and I will gain glory to myself through this. And the Lord and Israel and Egypt will know that I am the Lord. You know the story. The Lord enabled them to go through. The Israelites went through by faith. When the Egyptians tried to do that, God brought the sea down on them, and they were drowned. And Israel praised God for the deliverance that came that day, and the glory was given to God. Sometimes the Lord puts those obstacles in our way, those hardships and adversity in our life to grow our faith and get us to rely on him. And sometimes he may remove them, sometimes he may not. Paul the apostle prayed 3 times that the Lord would take the adversity from his life. You know this story. 3 times he would take the adversity away, and the Lord did not know that. He didn't take it away. But he said, my grace is sufficient for you. And Paul said, I would much rather bear this infirmity because in my weakness, he is strong. So if God puts adversities in your life and they're not removed, realize by faith that it's to grow your faith and to bring glory to Him through it. Sometimes He wants us to go through hardship and adversity and sickness so that He can be glorified in our life through it. And He may not deliver us from it. Other times, He may deliver us from it like He did Egypt, Israel, and He brought them through and He delivered, and there was great glory given to Him through the deliverance that came. Either way, there's deliverance. And we're set free. And God brings the glory to Himself. Last week, we had learned that about Peter Cameron Scott, a man who made a choice at a young age to give up a life of opera. He was had everything, very talented, and gave up a career in opera and fame to become a missionary and to go to Africa. We had seen how he made that choice, and it wasn't long after going there that he died, and many of the missionaries that came after him died. But God had used his service to open up the door for ministry in Africa that's still continuing this day. And then we had seen Jim Elliot, who made the choice as well to leave America and to go to the Indians in Ecuador, and was killed on the beach along with four others. And people would say, how tragic. Where was God in the midst of that? He didn't deliver them. Why would I want to follow God? Why would I want to make a choice of faith to give up things of this world to follow Christ? He didn't deliver them. He's not going to deliver me. Why would I want to make that kind of choice? Why would I want to follow that kind of God? And people would think that sometimes. You know, he didn't come through for them. He didn't deliver them. But you know, there's more than one kind of deliverance. And listen to the story of John G. Patton. John G. Patton, who left his native Scotland to take the gospel to the cannibals in New Hebrides Islands, answers that question well. As he was getting ready to leave to go to the mission field to the New Hebrides, one of his friends said to him, you're going to be eaten by cannibals. The cannibals are there. You're going to be eaten to death by cannibals. Why would you want to go? Why would you want to make that choice and to leave here to go to be eaten up by cannibals? And know what John Patton said. This was his response. This puts everything in perspective. He said this, quoting him. He said, Mr. Dixon, you are advanced in years now, and your own prospect soon is to be laid into the grave, there to be eaten by worms. I confess to you that if I can live and die serving and honoring the Lord Jesus, it will make no difference to me whether I am eaten by cannibals or by worms. And in the great day, my resurrection body will arise as fair as yours in the likeness of my Savior and my Redeemer. That's the right answer, right? God may deliver me, but He may not. But either way, the ultimate deliverance comes and we're taken home. Because faith delivers. And remember what Jim Elliot said. He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Beth Moore says that there's three types of deliverance. We'll be delivered from the fire, and our faith will be built. That happened to Israel when they went through the sea. That happened to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. But before they were cast in, they said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, they said, God is able to deliver us from this, but he may not. And even if he does not, we still are not going to bow to you. He may choose to deliver us from the fire, or he can deliver us through the fire. And when he does, our faith is refined. Or we can be delivered by the fire into his arms, and our faith is perfected. And isn't that far even greater glorious? That's even far more glorious, right? So faith delivers us. It delivers us from our fears and worries and anxiety over death and our self-doubt. It delivers us from our sin and death. and it delivers us from the obstacles and adversities in our way. It was by faith that Moses left with confidence. By faith they passed through. By faith they kept the Passover. And it is by faith that we live, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the journey of faith that we're on. And Lord, it's a long journey. And Lord, we confess to you there are many times when anxiety, fear, and even just tiredness sets in. And the enemy likes to discourage us. He likes us to feel we're alone. But it's when we have that encounter with you that Moses had personally, that he was reminded, Lord, as he fled Egypt in fear, and he encountered you, that his life was changed, and he realized in the reality of your presence that his cares were addressed by you. You cared deeply for him. Your eyes were on him. You heard him. You saw him. You were concerned for him, and you came to him. And Lord, that's true for us as well. And in those times when our fears, doubts, and anxieties press down on us, just remind us again, Lord, of your reality of your presence. Did you see us? You hear us. You hear our cries that nobody else does. You are concerned for us, and you came down to us to rescue us and to set us free. And that you, the great I am, are with us now and forever. Remind us through the promise that you keep your word, that you are faithful to your promises. You will do what you have said. That your word is our assurance and confidence and gives us strength we need. And that you enable us to do what we cannot do on our own. So, Father, remove those fears and doubts from us. We thank you as well that through faith in your Son and what Jesus did on the cross and the blood applied, you have set us free from our sin and our doubt and our guilt and our death. And Lord, that you also promise to be with us in times of adversity and hardship. And sometimes you place obstacles in our way to grow our faith and to bring your glory to it. But Lord, give us the faith and eyes of faith to see that you are with us and will bring us through and be with us in times of adversity and obstacles and hardship to come our way. Ultimately, you bring the final deliverance when we come home with you and we are set free from this body and move into that mansion that is waiting for us in glory. So, Lord, we walk by faith, not by sight. Continue, Lord, to teach us what that means as we follow you each and every day, living by faith in you and in your word. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name.